بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا، إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور، واقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك، إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and esteemed sisters, it is indeed part of the short-sightedness of man that he only reflects over the apparent and forgets the hidden. He tends to focus on the visible and ignore the invisible. He highlights the prime of issues and discards its end result. Whereas in the Quran, Allah repeatedly invites us to introspect and reflect over the depths of matters, and more importantly on its final result and its outcome. In other words, the gaze of a believer is not superficial and shallow. The gaze of a believer is deep, far-reaching to the end. By way of example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Why not travel the earth and reflect over the nations that occupied the earth before you? And the key thing that the Quran invites us, كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ, what happened to them in the end? To be relevant with the happenings of the world today, we have the Eurozone crisis, Greece, Spain, Portugal, Hungary, and heaven alone knows what happens beyond. Again, let's introspect on the outcome of the system. Not at its beginning, not at its prime, but in the end, what happened to the system? And more ironically, the bailout system is again walking on that very slippery slope. The Prophet ﷺ said it very eloquently, إِنَّ الرِّبَى وَإِنْ كَثُرْ فَإِنَّ عَاقِبَتَهُ تَصِيرُ إِلَىٰ تِلِّنْ. Verily a system, the lifeline of which is interest and usury, will inevitably bring that nation down to poverty and penury. One scholar elaborating very beautifully on the concept of interest, its beginning, its prime and its ultimate, he says it's pretty much like feeding a person food that is unhealthy, which creates obesity in the individual. Apparently there is growth, there is development, but that is obesity setting into that individual, and that would ultimately make him more prone and susceptible to so many illnesses and so many diseases. In the very same way, if we look at the system today, it is running on that very same system, and unfortunately you and I that have the Islamic system in place, to counter this, we are hoarding this formula. One of the articles or one of the lines in the write-up of today's event was, what are Islamic ethics? What are Islamic values? In a nutshell, Islam is not there to exploit the desperation of another person, but rather take him forward and assist him. So if I have $50,000, and I don't have, but if I do, and somebody needs to buy himself a car, Islam would teach me that I don't milk his desperation, I don't exploit it, but rather I give it to him as a gesture. And what would I get in return? This kind gesture will bring blessings, divine happiness and barakah in my home. This is the Islamic module, this is the Islamic example. مَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا. The Quran says, reflect over the nation of Ad. They devise mighty plots. Again, the Quran invites us to introspect, not at the execution of those plots, فانظر كيف كان عاقبة مكرهم. What happened to those nations in the end? If we apply our eye across the world and analyze the political landscape of the world, you would know and realize we're living in very exciting or trying times, however you choose to phrase it. People that were anchored and established in the empires for 3 decades, who thought they were indispensable or unthinkable, as the article suggests, they've moved on, they have died a political death, and some have died a physical death, and a new chapter has opened and life has continued. The point is, you've amassed, you've accumulated, but in the end, what happened? And that is the point of reflection. Let us not have the shallow gaze or the short-term vision, but the long-term vision of what is going to happen in the end. And amongst those people, and I want to tie it up to the theme, that the Quran warns us their end is nasty and evil, are the proud, the arrogant, and the haughty. Now today this crime has been perpetrated on a micro level and a macro level. They are the individuals that perceive themselves to be indispensable, and they are the captives and the nations that perceive themselves to be unthinkable and indispensable. So what is the definition of pride, be it perpetrated on a small scale or on the global platform? Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, and I will quote and then elucidate on his writing. He says, المتكبر الذي إذا وعظ أنف وإذا وعظ عنف. The proud and the arrogant individual or nation is he, when he is advised, he haughtily rejects it. Yet when he advises other nations, he does so in a condescending manner. He does so with derogatory terminology. He does so with inflammatory remarks. وكل من يرى نفسه خيرا من احد من خلق الله فهو متكبر. And any person who perceives himself better than anyone in the creation of Allah, in essence, is a proud and an arrogant and an haughty person. Furthermore, he writes, بل ينبغي الا تنظر الى احد الا وترى انه خير منك. It is important for you to realize ان الخير, a virtuous, a noble, a blessed person, من هو خير عند الله في الدار الآخرة وذلك غيب وهو موقوف على الخاتمة. That a good person is not a man who is in his prime, is not a man who has amassed political strength, is not a man who is leading the ship, but rather a good person is one who has been defined good by Allah in the final abode, وذلك غيب, and that is unknown, وهو موقوف على الخاتمة, and it rests upon the death of that person. He then gives us some practical examples how we can, or some practical exercises, how we can learn to suppress the elements of pride within ourselves that will create and foster a better relation in our community. Now here's some good examples. He says, if I see a lad walking, a young boy walking, the general notion is this boy has got no experience, he's done nothing in his life, I know better. Imam Ghazali says, no. فَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ صَغِيرًا قُلْتَ هَذَا لَمْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُهُ فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. When you see a young boy, you say to yourself, hang on, this boy has not even reached the age of puberty, he's got no liabilities, he's got no sin on himself, undoubtedly he is better than me in the eyes of Allah. How can I even imagine myself to be better than him? And I often quote the incident of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, who was one day strolling and he passed by a young boy that was playing in the sand, and initially he ignored the boy and walked past, and then he had a counter thought and he said to himself, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُسَلِّمُ عَلَى الصِّبْيَانِ. But the Prophet of Allah would also greet the children. I wouldn't lose much if I take a step back and be polite and courteous and cordial to the boy. So he took a step back and then with a warm embrace he greeted the boy and he said, أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا وَلَدْ. How are you, my young boy? Said, wa alaykum as-salam, ya Malik. And then Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, or Malik ibn Dinar rather, he said, let me engage the boy. So I asked him, مَا الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْعَقْلِ وَالنَّفْسِ. What's the difference between you, the human intellect and the human ego? He said, نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي مَنَعَتْكَ عَنِ السَّلَامِ وَعَقْلُكَ الَّذِي حَرَّدَكَ عَلَيْهِ. نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي مَنَعَتْكَ عَنِ السَّلَامِ
وَعَقْلُكَ الَّذِي حَرَّضَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ.
The human ego is the very thing that made you ignore me and walk past me. And the human intellect is the very thing that told you take a step back and greet. You won't lose your honor. The Prophet of Allah also greeted children. He said, I was impressed. I engaged the boy on another level. I said, لِمَ تَلْعَبُ بِالْتُرَابِ? Why are you playing with sand? He said, لِأَنَّا خُلِقْنَا مِنْهُ وَنَعُودُ إِلَيْهِ. Because Allah created us from sand, and to sand is our return. In fact, there is an angel that announces when the corpse of the human is returned to the grave. يَبْنَ آدَمْ خَرَجْتَ مِنَ التُرَابِ وَعُدْتَ إِلَى التُرَابِ خَرَجْتَ بِلَا ذَنْبٍ وَعُدْتَ وَكُلُّكَ ذُنُوبُ. Oh man, you started your journey from sand and you returned to sand. The only thing, we dispatch you with a clean slate and you return with nothing but sins. I asked the boy the third question. لِمَ الضِّحْكُ وَالْبُكَى? Sometimes when you play and I see you smile, and sometimes I see you cry. What's the contradiction of emotions? He said, ذَكَرْتُ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّي فَضَحِكْتُ وَذَكَرْتُ عَذَابَ رَبِّي فَبَكَيْتُ. Sometimes while I'm in my amusement, I have a flash of the mercy of Allah, and that manifests with a smile on my face. And at times I am reminded of the painful torment of the year after, and that translates with pain and agony on my face. And Malik ibn Dinar said, from that day onwards, I never ever thought myself to be superior to any child. So what I'm saying is, the attitude that I address others in a condescending manner, this has devastating implications on our community as a whole. And these are the very signs of danger for this Titanic to hit an iceberg. وَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ كَبِيرًا. And then, okay, you meet an elderly man. Is it time for you to feel that, no, this man, he is elder than me, so I guess he's sinning before me, so I'm definitely better than him. That's the perception. But what does Imam Ghazali say? إِنْ رَأَيْتَ كَبِيرًا قلت هذا عبد الله قبلي فلا شك أنه خير مني. You say to yourself, this man is elder than me in age, that means he's worshipping the Almighty way before my birth. How can I ever imagine that I'm better than him? So you look at the young child and you say he's innocent. You look at the elderly and you say that, you know what? This man has been worshipping Allah before me, hence he's better than me. There is a hadith, Musnad Ahmad, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that two people, Abu Huraira says, two people accepted Islam from a particular tribe. فَاسْتُشْهِدَ أَحَدُهُمَا وَأُخِّرَ الْآخَرَ لِآخِرِ سَنَةٍ. One of them were martyred and the other one was given an additional year of 1 year of life. فَرَأَيْتُ الْمُؤَخَّرْ مِنْهُمَا أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ قَبْلَ الشَّهِيدِ. Ironically, Talha ibn Ubaidullah says, I think the man who lived for a year longer entered paradise before the martyr. فَتَعَجَّبْتُ لِذَلِكَ. I was astonished and perplexed. And I narrated that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ صَامَ بَعْدَهُ شَهْرٌ. Is it not the man who was given 1 year additional life, observed 30 fasts more? أَلَيْسَ قَدْ صَامَ أَلَيْسَ قَدْ صَلَّ سِتَّةَ آلَافْ رَكْعَ. Has he not performed 6,000 odd rak'ats? And we said, yes, in the affirmative. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's the extension of 1 year of life that has secured his entry into paradise before. So again, the point is, I'm not better than him, nor am I superior to him. وَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ جَاهِلًا. And if you see perhaps the ignorant man, the sinful person, then what should you say? Okay, let me first mention one other point he says. وَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ عَالِمًا. If you see a scholar, you see a learned, a man who imbibes in his bosom the sciences of Islam, you say to yourself, هَذَا عَلِمَ مَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ وَبَلَغَ مَا لَمْ أَبْلُ وَعَلِمَ مَا جَهِلْتُ فَكَيْفَ أَكُونُ مِثْلَهُ. He has committed the Quran to his heart. One of my scholars used to give a very beautiful example. He says, sometimes we have a young child that completed the Quran. If you ask the mom of that child, she will say, clumsy, negligent, careless, I wouldn't leave the house keys with him, I wouldn't trust him with my phone. And then he used to go on to say, that's your perception of this child, that you will not leave the house keys with him, but subhanallah, Allah has entrusted him with the entire Quran. Allah has entrusted him with the entire Quran. That brings a new spin to the definition of competence. Who's the wise and who's the skilled? I am the skilled, I am the know-how, I am calculated, I am measured, but I haven't memorized one juz of the Quran. So when you see the learned person, don't condemn the scholars, don't feel I know better, but say he knows something that I don't know, he has memorized something that I haven't memorized, فَكَيْفَ أَكُونُ مِثْلَهُ. It would be an insult for me to compare myself to him. The great scholar Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, paying tribute to the great giant Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, said, لَقَدْ زَانَ الْبِلَادَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا لَقَدْ زَانَ الْبِلَادَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا إِمَامُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَبِي حَنِيفَةَ بِأَحْكَامٍ وَآثَارٍ وَفِقْهٍ كَآيَاتِ الزَّبُورِ فِي الصَّحِيفَةِ فَمَا بِالْمَشْرِقَيْنِ لَهُ نَظِيرٌ وَلَا بِالْمَغْرِبَيْنِ وَلَا بِكُوفَةٍ فَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّنَا أَبَدًا عَلَيْهِ مَدَى الْأَيَّامِ مَا قُرِئَتْ صَحِيفَةً. الشافعي رحمه الله paying tribute to Imam Abu Hanifa, and that was the beauty of the jurists amongst themselves, how they mutually complemented one another. He said, لَقَدْ زَانَ الْبِلَادَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا إِمَامُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَبِي حَنِيفَةً. Indeed, Abu Hanifa رحمه الله has adorned the land of Allah بِأَحْكَامٍ وَآثَارٍ وَفِقْهٍ by his jurisprudence, deductions from Quran and Hadith, just as the verses of the Zabur beautify the Zabur. فَمَا بِالْمَشْرِقَيْنِ لَهُ نَظِيرٌ وَلَا بِالْمَغْرِبَيْنِ وَلَا بِكُوفَةٍ. I rotated my gaze and I did a long search. I couldn't find his equivalent in the east, nor the west, nor in Kufa itself. فَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّنَا أَبَدًا عَلَيْهِ مَدَى الْأَيَّامِ مَا قُرِئَتْ صَحِيفَةٍ. So may the blessings of Allah perpetually descend upon the noble personality of both Abu Hanifa and Shafi'i and Malik and Ahmad and all the A'imma radiallahu anhum and on all the great scholars and our pious predecessors. So the point again he's saying is, look at the different categories of life. Don't elevate yourself beyond them. Here comes the key part. وَإِن رَأَيْتَ جَاهِلًا. When you see a sinner, when you see a transgressor, and it is unfortunately the lack of this approach. Now one of the writings in the write-up to this, the Ark of Noah, it suggests that due to the lack of ethics, it has weakened many spots on the ship of humanity. Primarily politics, religion, commerce and others. Just to digress objectively and look at the political, what does politics entail today in the world? Who's in the driving seat and what are the components of a politician? When Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was in his fatal illness and he wanted to now hand over the power, the reins, so he was very disturbed. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu came to visit him. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, what is the problem, O Umar? He said, I cannot find someone reliable and responsible that would embrace and embody the responsibility of leading the Muslim Ummah. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu proposed few candidates, but what about so and so, what about so and so? And bearing in mind these were prominent companions, these were not ordinary people. But Sayyidina Umar then spelled out the profile of a Muslim politician, of a Muslim man who comes and takes the reins. He said, do you know what it takes to lead the masses? Do you know what are the requisites? He said, no, tell me. Umar radiallahu anhu said, قوي من غير عنف لين من غير ضعف جواد من غير صرف ممسك من غير بخل. He said, قوي من غير عنف. It requires a strong man who's not harsh. لين من غير ضعف. A gentle man who's not weak. جواد من غير صرف. Someone who's generous yet not extravagant. Mumsikun min ghayri bukhlin. Someone who can withhold yet not mice. Now can you imagine how amazing these qualities are and how daunting it is? That is why one day Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu even asked Umar ibn Khattab, Ala tasta'miluni? Oh Umar, why won't you give me a post in the Khilafah? He said, Akhsha an yudannisa deenak. Akhsha an yudannisa deenak. I am afraid that this will taint your Islamic personality. Meaning when you come and take the reins, it has a daunting responsibility. Coming back to the point, if you see a sinner, and you see someone transgressing, Does it give you the license to perceive yourself superior? Is this very attitude of us elevating ourselves to a perception of superiority, thereby fragmenting and creating classes, that has caused this mayhem and anarchy in the world? He said, no.
إن رأيت جاهلا قلت هذا عصى الله بجهل وأنا عصيت الله بعلم فحجة الله علي أكبر
وما أدري بما يختم لي وبما يختم له. He said, when you see a sinner, you say to yourself, the poor man knows no better. He has sinned because he's not aware of the truth. I have disobeyed Allah, knowing very well in what lies the obedience of Allah. فحجة الله علي أكبر. So the evidence of Allah against me will be much more severe. وَمَا أَدْرِي بِمَا يُخْتَمُ لِي وَبِمَا يُخْتَمُ لَهُ. And I really don't know what will be my end and what will be his end. Where will things end? Again, it brings me to my opening comments. I don't want to become judgmental, but run your gaze around the political world today. See how it is, this trend is gaining momentum. We're seeing people coming, becoming anchored, established, obsessed, acquiring the things of this world, having a period of time, be it a decade or two decades. But thereafter, what happens to them? A political death, a physical death, humiliation. In the end, reflect over the end. And I share with you two incidents. Ibn Qudama has mentioned it. They are thought-provoking. In his Kitab al-Tawwabin on page 82 and page 83, that is exactly where I read it. Where we cannot become judgmental on a sinner also. We need to mutually cooperate together and assist one another. Then only will we able to take the ship and keep it aboard and keep it afloat. So they say in Bani Israel, this is the narration mentioned in the time of the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. There was a drought, there was famine. So the people went out to implore the Almighty to attract mercy and rain and blessings upon the people. فَخَرَجُوا إِلَى الصَّحْرَاءِ وَهُمْ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفٍ. They had numbered 70,000. The Prophet Moses lifted his hands and he implored the Almighty, فَمَا زَادَتِ السَّمَاءُ إِلَّا تَقَشُّعًا. But no sign of rain. The dryness only intensified. So the Prophet Moses asked the Almighty, peace be upon him, O Allah, what is the reason that we engage, we implore, we beseech you, but you do not positively respond to our prayer? So the Almighty responded by saying, فِيكُمْ عَبْدٌ يُبَارِزُنِي بِالْمَعَاصِي مُنْذُ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. That there is a sinner amongst the audience of the 70,000 that has been blatant and arrogant and flagrantly disobeying me, and he continues to persist on his crime until he has an excuse from the gathering, I will not send down rain. So make an announcement and tell him to excuse. So the Prophet Moses said, peace be upon him, alayhi salam, أنا ضعيف وصوتي ضعيف. Oh my Lord, I am weak and so is my voice weak. But Allah said to him, مِنْكَ النِّدَى وَعَلَيَّ الْبَلَاغِ. You make the announcement and I will convey your message. And I always say to people, don't ever think that you're an individual against mass media, against this organization. If you have the correct voice and the correct truth, Allah will amplify your sentiments. Rest assured, when the Prophet Abraham made his announcement, he was in a simple, ordinary person. But the transmission of that slogan of pilgrimage was echoed to people across the world, and masses continue to flock in their millions, responding to the call and the cry of Abraham, which was made in a faint voice back thousands of years ago. So say the correct thing, my young boy in your university. Say the correct statement, my sister at your tertiary university. Say the correct thing, my brother, in your medical fraternity. You might be one, you might be marginalized, but it is the promise and the declaration of the Almighty that He will amplify your message. Be it as it may, the Prophet Moses makes an address and he said, Ayyuhal Abdul Asi, O the sinner who's been disobedient to the Almighty for 40 years, would you please excuse yourself from the gathering? فَنَظَرَ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ فَلَمْ يَرَ أَحَدْ يَخْرُجْ. So this person knew who he was. He looked around, rotated his gaze. He seen nobody walk out of the audience. فَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ هُوَ الْمَتْلُوبُ. He realized the inference and the reference is to himself. فَأَدْخَلَ رَأْسَهُ في ثيابه نادما على فعاله. He then had, if I translate this, he had a moment with his Lord. You know, he said, I need a moment with the lawyer, I need a moment with the teacher. This sinner had a moment with his Almighty. And really speaking, we've gathered here today in the thousands. Who stops every one of us to put our head down and have a moment with our Lord here today? This is the time that we have a moment with our Creator. So he had a moment with his Lord, and he said, إلهي عصيتك منذ 40 سنة فأمهلتني وقد أتيتك طائعا فاقبلني. Oh my Lord, I have disobeyed you, and that's the harsh truth. It is as it is. I have disobeyed you and I have violated, but you've given me respite and clemency. Now that I've decided to change, oh my Lord, I beg and I beseech and I implore you, do not disgrace me, preserve my honor and embrace my call. فَلَمْ يَسْتَتِمَّ الْكَلَامِ حَتَّى ارْتَفَعَتْ سَحَابَةٌ بَيْضَاءِ. Before he could conclude his dialogue, suddenly comes the cloud, there is a loud burst, and it starts raining buckets and buckets. The general congregation and assembly are impressed with the supplication of Moses, but Musa himself is rather perplexed and astonished. He said, يَا رَبِّي بِمَ سَقَيْتَنَا وَلَمْ يَخْرُجْ مِنَّا أَحَدٍ. Oh my Lord, how did you change the destiny of mankind when nothing really happened on the ground? What an amazing answer Allah gave to him. سَقَيْتُكُمْ بِالَّذِي بِهِ مَنَعْتُكُمْ. Musa, do you know who has attracted my mercy? And why have I made a favorable decision? The very man who denied you rain was the man who attracted you rain. So the Prophet Musa said, Oh Allah, can you identify him to me? At least I can have a look at him. Allah said, I didn't expose him when he was doing wrong. Why should I expose him when he's repented? Why should I? إِلَهِ إِنْ عَظُمَتْ ذُنُوبِي كَثْرًا فَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ عَفْوَكَ أَعْظُمُ إِنْ كَانَ لَا يَرْجُوكَ إِلَّا مُحْسِنٌ فَبِمَنْ يَلُوذُ وَيَسْتَجِيرُ الْمُجْرِمُ مَا لِي إِلَيْكَ وَسِيلَةٌ إِلَّا الرِّضَى وَجَمِيلُ عَفْوِكَ ثُمَّ أَنِّي مُسْلِمٌ. إِلَهِ إِنْ عَظُمَتْ ذُنُوبِي كَثْرًا. Oh my Lord, if my sins are many and that is the reality, فَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ عَفْوَكَ أَعْظَمُ. I equally know your pardon and your clemency is much greater than my sins. إِنْ كَانَ لَا يَرْجُوكَ إِلَّا مُحْسِنٌ. If only the noble can queue at your court. فَبِمَنْ يَلُوذُ وَيَسْتَجِيرُ الْمُجْرِمُ. Then please familiarize me with the door that entertains the sinners. مَا لِي إِلَيْكَ وَسِيلَةٌ إِلَّا الرِّضَى وَجَمِيلُ عَفْوِكَ ثُمَّ أَنِّي مُسْلِمُ. I have invested my hopes on your clemency, and more importantly as well, that I am a believer, and hopefully you will forgive me. So coming back to my point, I'm saying to rescue the ship of humanity, we need to take the chip off our shoulder, both on a micro and a macro level. We need to start looking at one another as common humans, and not with the condescending and the degrading eye. Not hurling nasty and vituperative comments to one another, because I really know not how his fate will end and how mine will end. Another incident in this regard. Ibn Qudama makes mention of it as well on the very next page in his Kitab al-Tawabin. That also in the time of the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, there was a youngster who had transgressed all the limits of Allah. فَأَخْرَجُوهُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ لِسُوءِ فِعْلِهِ. Due to the wicked nature of this individual, society was compelled to expel him. So they've expelled him and they banished him and they kept him in isolation. فَحَضَرَهُ الْوَفَاتُ. It was his time to die and he passed away. The Almighty sent revelation to the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, إِنَّ وَلِيًّا مِنْ أَوْلِيَائِ حَضَرَهُ الْمَوْتُ. O Musa, one of my beloved friends have passed away. Be sure to attend his funeral. Remember my words that I'm keeping on focus with the topic. How can we mutually support one another? What are the ethics of an Islamic foundation? What makes us different? O Musa, one of my friends have passed away. Attend the funeral. And that's not all. وَقُلْ لِمَنْ كَثُرَ عِصْيَانُهُ يَحْضُرُ جَنَازَتَهُ لِأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Anyone who attends the funeral of my friend, before he concludes the prayer of the dead, he will be sure to be forgiven. So when the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, made this public address, the people came out in their numbers, in scores, in multitudes. Society is society. They will talk. They won't keep quiet. People will say whatever they want to say. You know, this one person wrote a poem and some people condemned him. So he said, I don't take offense from your condemnation. إِنَّ عَابَ النَّاسُ مَقَالَتِي فَلَيْسَ قَوْلُهُمْ بِي يَضِيرُ قَدْ قِيلَ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ سِحْرُ وَمَا يَقُولُ الرَّسُولُ زُورُ إِنْ عَابَ النَّاسُ مَقَالَتِي If people condemn my writing, فَلَيْسَ قَوْلُهُمْ بِي يَضِيرُ I will not be demoralized by the negative comments of society. قَدْ قِيلَ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ سِحْرُ People have accused the Quran of being sorcery. وَمَا يَقُولُ الرَّسُولُ زُورُ And have equally hurled the accusation of lies against the paragon of Allah's creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another poet said it, إِنْ أَتَتْكَ مَذَمَّتِي مِنْ نَاقِسٍ فَهِيَ الشَّهَادَةُ لِي بِأَنِّي كَامِلُ إِنْ أَتَتْكَ مَذَمَّتِي مِنْ نَاقِسٍ فَهِيَ الشَّهَادَةُ لِي بِأَنِّي كَامِلُ When an incompetent person blemishes my work, then that's actually a testimony to my perfection. Because the man blemishing me is incompetence. So it doesn't have a negative spin, if any, a positive. Be it as it may. When the people came and they seen his corpse, they said, Oh Musa, you said we must attend the funeral of one of the friends of Allah. هذا هو الفاسق الذي أخرجناه. هذا هو الفاسق الذي أخرجناه. This man is wicked, he's the scum of the earth. We have banished him from our society. فتعجب موسى من ذلك. The Prophet Musa was confused, perplexed. Oh my Lord, what is this? He speaks to the Almighty. So Allah says, صدقوا وهم شهدائي. Musa, that is correct. What they say, this was the condition of this man. I beg of your undivided attention. It's a very critical and a very crucial explanation. إلا أنه لما حضرته الوفاة But the destiny of this man turned differently in the 11th hour. And who am I to judge? And who am I to pronounce a ruling that I'm superior to him? Oh Musa, let me tell you what happened to this man. When it was the time of death, he was in isolation. Society had banished him. نظر ذات اليمين فلم يرى أحد He looked towards his right, he's seen absolutely no person. Now humanly when a person is in the throes of death, you want a shoulder to lean on, you want a comforting hand, you want somebody there to be on your side. And let me digress and share with you a very emotional brief dialogue. When Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, the conqueror of Egypt, when he was in the throes of death, his son was at his bedside. So the son said to the dad, and this is now meaningful dialogue, Today we have all other types of dialogue and we engage with our parents and child and quality time and the rest of it. But how about this as a dialogue? The son asked the death, why the father is slipping away into death. He says, Oh my dad, sifli al-maut. I don't wish to be insensitive to your pain and your agony. But after you're gone, none will explain to me what death entails. If it's all possible, could you explain to me the agony of death? So he says to his son, كَأَنَّ جِبَالَ الدُّنْيَا فَوْقَ صَدْرِي كَأَنَّ جِبَالَ الدُّنْيَا فَوْقَ صَدْرِي Oh my son, I feel as if the mountains of the entire world are resting on my shoulders. And then he slips into a coma. And there is a moment of silence. When he gains his consciousness, the son nudges his dad. Dad, you were telling me you feel as if the mountains of the world are on your shoulders. I know you're in pain and trauma and I don't want to be insensitive to your pain. But who will share this with me after you're gone? Could you be kind enough to conclude that sentence? وَكَأَنِّي أَتَنَفَّسُ مِنْ ثِقْبِ الْإِبْرَةِ And I feel as if I'm trying to breathe from an eye, from the eye of a needle. The mountains, the colossal mountains of the world are on my shoulders. And I'm trying to gain my composure and get a breath from the eye of a needle. And he passes on, reading the very famous dua, Allahumma la qawiyun fa'antasir,
ولا بري فأعتذر ولا مستنكر بل مستغفر. اللهم إنك أمرتنا فعصينا ونهيتنا فما انتهينا ولا يسعنا إلا عفوك. I don't have time to elaborate.
But that was the moment and that was the dialogue. So this wicked man at the time of death, he looked to his right, he seen no one. He looked to his left, he seen no one. So he turned his gaze to the heavens, O Musa, and he started speaking to me. And how he spoke to Allah. He said, إِلَهِ لَوْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ عَذَابِي يَزِيدُ فِي مُلْكِكَ وَعَفُّكَ عَنِّي يَنْقُصُ مِنْ مُلْكِكَ لَمَا سَأَلْتُكَ الْمَغْفِرَةَ. إِلَهِ لَوْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ عَذَابِي يَزِيدُ فِي مُلْكِكَ وَعَفُّكَ مِنِّي يَنْقُصُ مِنْ مُلْكِكَ لَمَا سَأَلْتُكَ الْمَغْفِرَةَ. Oh my Lord, society has ditched me. My community has launched me. My colleagues have forsaken me. The nation has abandoned me. My Lord, I die in isolation. My gaze on you, my hope on you. If I knew by you punishing me, it will elevate your grandeur. It will push your ranking higher up on the stage. Or by you forgiving me, it will drop your status. Then I would have never mustered the courage to ask you to forgive me. But I know very well, my Lord, you are at the pinnacle of glory. Forgiving one or punishing one will not affect your greatness in any way. Hence I muster the courage and I ask you, my Lord, forgive me, you remain exalted, my entire abode will be rescued. O Musa, wa izzati wa jalali. You know in Arabic they say, Ar-Rabbu Rabbun wa in tanazzal. والعبد عبد وإن ترقى. Those who understand Arabic will appreciate it. الرب رب وإن تنزل والعبد عبد وإن ترقى. The Almighty remains exalted even when He descends, and the servant remains humble even when he ascends. The servant remains humble even when he ascends. أو موسى وعزتي وجلالي لو استغفرني لأهل الأرض جميعا. If he had to extend his request for everyone on the earth, rest assured I was going to pardon everyone, O Musa, and grant him exactly what he wanted. Coming back to the point, what was I saying? When you look at the sinner, don't have this attitude of superiority, I know better. What did Imam Ghazali say? وما أدري بما يختم لي. I really don't know what's going to meet me at the end of the road and what's going to meet him at the end of the road. A man who was banished from community and society, the Almighty brought the nation to lead his prayer in the desert in the hope of pardon for themselves. Such was the end of this person. Furthermore, he writes, وَإِن رَأَيْتَ كَافِرًا. If you see a disbeliever, if you see a sinner, does it give you the right to say, I am superior, I am better? No, not at all. And hear it from me loud and clear, this is the beautiful teachings of Islam. What should you say? عَسَىٰ أَن يُسْلِمْ فَيَنْسَلَّ بِإِسْلَامِهِ مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِ كَمَا تَنْسَلُّ الشَّعْرَةُ مِنَ الْعَجِيبِ وَأَمَّا أَنَا فَعَسَىٰ أَن يُضِلَّنِيَ اللَّهُ فَيَكُونُ غَدًا هُوَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ وَأَكُونُ أَنَا مِنَ الْمُبْعَدِينَ. Perhaps he will be favored with the beauty of Islam and he will die a noble death, and I will be denied the truth before my eyes close, and my end will be wicked, and he will stand up close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a man who came and joined the Prophet of Allah in a campaign, and he was alongside with the Prophet of Allah in the campaign, and he passed away in that particular campaign. He reverted. He had not offered one prayer. He accepted the faith. He participated in the campaign. And he passed away in that particular campaign. The hadith of Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَمِلَ قَلِيلٌ وَأُجِرَ كَثِيرٌ. عَمِلَ قَلِيلٌ وَأُجِرَ كَثِيرٌ. This is when you say the man struck luck. He did a little and he secured a lot for him. Was it not Ikrama, the son of Abu Jahl, who was the arch enemy of Islam, the sworn enemy of Islam, the man who had caused the greatest pain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What did he do when he embraced the faith? One could never imagine that this person would ever embrace the faith of Islam. But yes, history bears testimony to the fact that the day came that he embraced the faith.
And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a prayer in his favor. Allahumma ighfir li Akramah kull 'adawatin 'adaniha wa kull masirin sara fihi ila mawdi'in yurid bidhalika al-masir itfa'a nurik waghfir lahu ma nala minni min 'irdin fi wajhi aw ana gha'ibun 'anhu.
Oh my Lord, this is the son of Abu Jahl. His father has caused me great pain, but he has embraced my faith. I have forgiven him, and I equally ask you to forgive him every time he tried to harm Islam. This man was so impressed, overwhelmed. He lifted his hands and he said, "Oh Muhammad, I've only embraced the faith. But you've given me such amnesty and rescue, such protection and shelter. I feel like I was amongst you from the very beginning. I bow to you. Whatever wealth and resources I had used anti-Islam, against Islam, illa anfaqtu dhifaha fi sabilillah, I will now double my resources to enhance the cause of Islam." So the point I'm saying, the long and short, to rescue the ship of humanity, what is it? The attitude that I'm superior has to come out. The verse that I recited in the beginning is one of the profound advisors of the great giant Luqman. Now we all know Luqman, alayhi salam. He was dark-skinned. He lacked physical beauty. Somebody asked him once and said to him, "Your face is so ugly." He didn't have physical features, beauty, whatever it is. You know, you lack physical beauty. So he gave such an amazing answer. He said, "Ata'ibu bihada ala naqshi aw ala naqash." Ata'ibu bihada ala naqshi aw ala naqash. When you say my face lacks it, I'm asking you, are you frowning on the pattern? Or are you objecting on the pattern maker? Are you moaning on the design or the design maker, and that is the Almighty? He was a great man of profound wisdom. He said to his son, وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَاغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. Oh my son, don't be hostile, don't be harsh, don't frown, don't be abrupt with people. By the way, I read an article, they say when you frown, you exert more facial muscles than when you smile. So it's cheaper to smile. The definition of a smile, the only curve that puts things straight. The only curve that puts things straight. And somebody made a definition of a yawn. What's the definition of a yawn? The only time married men get to open their mouths. Anyway, وَلَا تُسَقِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Do not moan and groan with people. Do not be abrupt. Be polite. Be cordial. Be courteous. Now remember, if you keep my initial comments in your heart, that from your heart you believe every person superior to yourself, then that smile will foster a relation. It won't be a false smile. Because I truly believe the young and the old, the learned and the ignorant, the male and female, believer and otherwise, he is better than me. He is better than me. And one scholar said it so beautiful. He said, "I consider everyone better than me, because I assume he sins and I know I sin. I have a perception that others do wrong, and with regards to myself, I have a conviction. كنت على نفسي من يقين. With regards to myself, I know I do wrong, and with others, after all, إن تغفر تغفر اللهم جمع وأي عبد لك لا ألم. Every servant sins. So it's a perception. Furthermore, he says, إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. Allah doesn't like the proud and the arrogant. The Ahlul Lugha, those who have studied the Arabic linguistics, they tell us the word mukhtal refers to arrogance over inner beauty. So either it is intelligence, it's competence, it's skill, it's physical beauty. While fakhur refers to pride over external beauty. External beauty in terms of fame, in terms of recognition, in terms of affluence, those things. Be it internal or external, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shuns and abhors those people who carry the traits of pride and arrogance.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith of Bukhari, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي A young man was walking in the previous nations, فِي حُلَّةٍ clad in a beautiful garb, مُرَجِّلٌ رَأْسُهُ He had combed his hair very beautiful, well dressed. That's not a problem, it's wonderful. Allah loves neatness. But here came the problem, يَخْتَالُ فِي مِشْيَتِهِ يَخْتَالُ فِي مِشْيَتِهِ Suddenly his walk gave off the notion of superiority. I am better, my garb more exclusive, my know-how greater. And then what happened? إِذْ خُسِّفَ بِهِ فَهُوَ يَتَجَلْجَلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ What am I and you? Allah ordered the earth to split and he continues to sink in the depths of the water, in the depth of the earth. The Quran speaks about the ship. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُسْكِنِ الرِّيحَ فَيَضْلَلْنَ رَوَاكِدَ عَلَى ظَهْرِ We're talking about the ship of humanity. As massive as the ship is, but when you look at that ship in the dead center, it's a speck in front of the ocean. You fly the A380 as it takes off, wow, amazing, 520, this is the comfort on board. You have your all the other amenities and luxuries, take a shower on board and the rest of it. But when you are cruising at an altitude of 11,000 or 12,000 feet above sea level, and you look outside in the broader atmosphere, what is this entire A380? Nothing but a speck in the atmosphere of Allah. So you might be proud and arrogant, but in front of the land of Allah, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا The Quran says, as much as you shrug your shoulders, you're not going to even get close to the lowest mountain, never mind the clouds. You're not going to even get close to the lowest mountain. And as much as you strike your feet on the ground, rest assured this earth is very strong. It will swallow nations. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, the thing I fear the most for my people, اعجاب المرء برأيه. When this nation will fragment, and every one of them will become obsessed on their personal opinion. And they won't have space and room to listen to others, to welcome another view, to entertain another view. That is the biggest fear with which I die. إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ إِعْجَابُ الْمَرْءِ بِرَأْيِهِ وَمَنْ قَالَ أَنَا عَالِمٌ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ وَمَنْ قَالَ أَنَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, the one that said he knows it, rest assured he's ignorant. And the one that said he's in paradise, take it from me, he's in hell. That is why somebody asked our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, مَتَا أَعْلَمْ أَنِّي مُحْسِنٍ When do I know that I'm a good person? She said, إِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّكَ مُسِيٍ When you truly believe you're a bad person. When you truly believe you're a bad person, then you're a good person. When do I know I'm a bad person? إِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّكَ مُحْسِنٍ When you truly believe you're a good person, then that is sufficient to spell the destruction of yourself. Now, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, the ship of mankind has always been rescued because of two good qualities. And the ship of humanity has always lost its focus and has sunk with its crew because of two qualities. What are the two factors that are going to rescue the ship of humanity? At-taqwa wal-niyyah. When the crew will have good vision, noble intention, good ideas, then they will sail and they will make it across. Remember the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has painted a time before Qiyamah when he said it will get so bleak that a murderer will murder and the murdered will be murdered and both of them will go to hell. So the companion said, we can understand the crime of the murderer, but is not the murdered an innocent party, is not a victim of the aggression of the victor and the perpetrator. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيثًا عَلَىٰ قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيثًا عَلَىٰ قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ The one who died, he died with the equal aspiration to kill. It's just that fate prevailed and his time had expired. Otherwise, he died with the aspiration of killing. When evil intention will dominate, when the nature of our thinking will be diluted, our vision will be obscured, we won't have good intention, then we will be digging our own holes. So when we have good intention and we have taqwa, taqwa is the thing that has rescued anyone. يَقُولُ الْمَرْءُ مَالِي وَفَائِدَتِي
يريد المرء أن يؤطى مناه. Someone asked Abu Darda رضي الله عنه, you don't sing poetry? He said, I have a poem. They asked him, you don't have poetry? He said, I have a poem. They said, what is it? And then he sang these couplets. يريد المرء أن يؤطى مناه ويأبى الله إلا ما أرادا. يقول المرء مالي وفائدتي وتقوى الله أفضل ما استفادا. What did he say? Every man wishes that his dream comes to fruition. It sees conclusion. But Allah has decided only what he wants will ultimately prevail. يقول المرء مالي وفائدتي. Man calls out and cries out, my wealth, my empire, my position, my dynasty, my empire. وتقوى الله أفضل ما استفادا. But taqwa and consciousness of Allah. What is taqwa? The Arabic poet said it so beautifully. That live in this world like how a person is walking in a thorny jungle. How a person is walking in a thorny jungle. لا تحقرن صغيرة إن الجبال من الحصى. Because when you're walking in a thorny jungle, I might hurt myself, I might prick myself, I might get offended, I get hurt here. In the very same way, a believer has to be conscious, he has to be focused, he has to be objective in how he navigates his way forward. And the things that have destroyed the ship of humanity is al-ujb. Al-ujb. And I want to speak a little more on this and then bring it to what is the message, how can we better represent Islamic values and Canadian ethics. That brings the conclusion of the write-up on the topic of the Titanic. And I'll bring it to some tangible solutions that you and I can do. So what can we do? The two things that have destroyed the ship of humanity, number one is al-ujb. What is al-ujb? To be conceited. What is it? نَذْرُ الْعَبْدِ إِلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بِعَيْنِ الْعِذِّ وَنَذْرُهُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ بِعَيْنِ الذُّلِّ. To look at myself as superior and to look at others as inferior. What is the manifestation of this evil malady? ثَمَرَتُهُ فِي اللِّسَانِ أَنْ يَقُولَ أَنَا أَنَا. The one who has the sickness in him, whenever he talks, he'll be chanting one slogan. He'll only be trumpeting himself. Me, myself, and us. Me, myself, and us. That's it. وَثَمَرَتُهُ فِي الْمَجَالِسِ. When you meet him in a gathering, التَّرَفُّعُ وَالتَّقَدُّمُ وَالتَّصَدُّرُ. He needs the center. He needs the stage. He needs to dominate the show. وفي المحاورة and in common discussion, الاستنكاف من أن يرد كلامه. Aversion to the contradiction of his opinion. He will never ever accept a counter opinion. And I'm afraid this thing has really fragmented this ummah where we don't have the muscles and the strength and the vision to allow and to entertain and to hear the views of other people as well. So, that is why the scholars have written something so unique. They say there is one form of truth that is disliked. There is one form of truth. مَسْصِدْقُ الْقَبِيحِ. It is a sidq, it is a truth, but it's disliked. So the question was asked, what is the type of truth that is disliked? He said, ثَنَاءُ الْمَرْءِ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. ثَنَاءُ الْمَرْءِ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. When a person starts paying tribute to himself, and he starts blowing the trumpet of himself, as much as it is good, it's correct, but that's not healthy. That will destroy you. And furthermore, he writes, this will have an adverse effect on you. He said, remember, أَنَّ الْعُجْبَ يُوْجِبُ مَقْتَ اللَّهِ. That self-conceited, arrogant attitude of yours. I mean, look at the Prophet ﷺ. I might be digressing here, but it's an example in a marital context that might be very meaningful. The Prophet ﷺ receives revelation. The archangel Jibreel meets with him. And for the record, the Prophet ﷺ was the only Prophet who had the privilege of seeing Jibreel in his original form. Otherwise, the Prophets would see him in a human impersonated form. So the Prophet ﷺ meets with Jibreel. Prophethood is conferred upon him. He didn't come home and say to his honorable spouse and noble consort, Khadija, do you know what? I had a meeting with Jibreel and I'm scheduled to meet with Mikael tomorrow. No, no, no. Zammiluni, zammiluni. And shroud me, give me comfort. He came in as a normal, ordinary, humble, simple man. What was the amazing nature of his character? The impeccable, the flawless, the infallible teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anyway, he says that remember that self-conceited attitude will attract the wrath of Allah. And if you want to see how harmful this is, take an example of your friends.
إذا أثنوا على أنفسهم بالفضل والمال والجاه كيف يستنكره قلبه ويستثقله طبعه.
That when they praise themselves, you just keep on nodding your head, and then when he goes out, he says, oh, he's got an attitude. He thinks too much of himself. They say some people fly so much, they have an altitude problem, some have an attitude problem. He's got an attitude, he's got a chip on his shoulder. Exactly will be the response of people to you if you sit and brag about yourself when you walk out of the gathering. So now bring it to a conclusion. This is what we've heard. These are the things that are going to destroy us. The other component, I don't want to go into detail, that will cause the ship to wreck. One is pride, self-conceited, and the other thing is al-qanood, despondency. Today the ummah has become a victim of psychological defeat. Study the rise and the falls of nations. Physical defeat in battle never marked the end of a nation. But a nation that became a defeat of psychological defeat never stood on its feet again. Physical fall has always happened throughout times. It has happened in the best of eras, for strategic reasons, for other reasons. But when a nation has become a victim of psychological defeat, and he has given up its hope, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, what does the Quran teach us? يَا بَنِي يَذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. As bleak as the time will become, Islam provides us direction and navigation, and we have to have hope and optimistic. Obviously, we need to have reasonable hope, and we cannot be, you know, in fantasy and wishful thinking. So what is the way forward? Here I share with you three examples how we can better represent Islam, and that is where the writer brings it to that conclusion. How can we better represent Islam? The narration is in Tabri. The Prophet ﷺ was out with the companions. It was the time of meal. So he said, أمر بإصلاح شاته. He said, can we perhaps slaughter a lamb and we can arrange some meal? So one Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah عليّ ذبحها. Leave the slaughtering to the lamb. I'll slaughter the lamb. I will slaughter it, that's fine. Another companion said, عليّ سلخها. O Prophet of Allah, I will skin the animal. Prophet ﷺ said, that's fine. The third one said, Ya Rasulullah عليّ طبخها. I will cook the meal. That's fine. Did the Prophet of Allah sit back and say, yes, do quickly? No, not at all. What did he say? And it gives me a shiver in my spine. If the leaders of the world, if the parents of the world, if the guardians of the world could lead by the example of Muhammad, I promise you the destiny of humanity will be different. He said, عليّ جمع الحطر. عليّ جمع الحطر. He said, okay, you slaughter it, you skin it, you prepare the meal, I will gather the firewood and ignite the fire. Ya Rasulullah, nakfika al-amal. Nakfika al-amal. O Prophet of Allah, don't insult us. Please take a seat. We will take care. قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكُمْ تَكْفُونِي وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَكْرَهُ مِنْ عَبْدِهِ أَنْ يَرَاهُ مُتَمَيِّذًا بَيْنَ أَصْحَابِهِ. I know you will suffice for me, and I know you are ready to give your life for me, but Allah dislikes it when one servant elevates himself over others, giving a notion of superiority. And Allah loves it when we mutually work together and we put our shoulder to the wheel and we work collectively. This is the sight loved by Allah. I read an English proverb. It said, a society grows great. A society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they will never sit in. A society grows great. The foundation, the building blocks of that community are amazing. When an elderly man comes and plants a seed, consciously knowing I will not see the seed grow, but there will be a boy in the progeny of this ummah who will one day play under the shade of this tree. And that's enough to make me happy. If only that can become the building blocks of our community. If only that can become the vision. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكُمْ تَكْفُونِينَ. I know very well. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَكْرَهُ مِنْ عَبْدِهِ أَنْ يَرَاهُ مُتَمَيِّزًا بَيْنَ أَصْحَابِهِ. Let me share with you another incident. I've been actually asked to continue a little, so I won't extend too much time as well. It's the occasion after the campaign of Uhud. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's one-on-one interaction. How he presented this example to the world. You know, in Arabic they say, صَبْرُكَ فِي مُصِيبَتِكَ خَيْرٌ مِّن جَزْعِكَ وَجَزْعُكَ فِي مُصِيبَةِ أَخِيكَ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَبْرِكَ. صَبْرُكَ فِي مُصِيبَتِكَ خَيْرٌ مِّن جَزْعِكَ. Because the example I'm going to give you elucidates this theory. The teachings of Islam is, it's better for you to persevere in your own pain. Don't moan, don't groan, don't yell, don't make a noise. Persevere. That's the teachings of Islam. When the Prophet ﷺ's blessed finger was injured, the Sahaba were very hurt about it. And make no mistake, this was the very finger that split the moon. And he said, وَهَلْ أَنْتِ إِلَّا إِصْبَعٌ دَمِيتِ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا لَقِيتِ. That this is a finger, and whatever it has endured has been in the cause of Allah. Anyway, the Arabic proverb goes as follows. It is better for you to persevere on your own pain than to moan and groan. And it is better for you to moan and groan on the pain of others than to persevere. Now today, if we look at humanity by and large, over the most trivial of inflictions on myself, I make a noise, I want to mobilize, I want to get it in the media, I want to address it, I want intervention methods because I've been violated, my rights have been infringed upon and the rest of it. But I'm silent to the pains of others. I'm silent to the agony of others. If this becomes the ethos of the Muslim, if this becomes the driving mentality of the Muslim, if this becomes the lifeline of the Muslim, and not Muslims by extension humanity, that I can persevere on my own pain, but it hurts me to see when others are oppressed. That will bring about a transformation in the community. So here's Jabir radiallahu anhu. It's the occasion of Uhud. His honorable father has been martyred and he passes away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets Jabir. And I'm going to bring it to a conclusion, making a request to everyone to tap the life of someone, to add value to the life of someone, to change someone positively. How can we better represent Canadian values, Islamic values? Here is a perfect example, and who better than the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Mali araka munkasiran ya Jabir." Jabir, you're looking so sad. You're looking so depressed. Is there anything wrong? He said, "Ustushhida abi yawma Uhud." Ah, well, Prophet of Allah, you know, my dad has been martyred in the battle of Uhud, and obviously I continue to think about him, and I pine for him, and I yearn for him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala ubashshiraka bima laqiya Allah bihi abak." Can I give you some psychological comfort? He said, "Bala ya Rasulullah, please tell me." He said, "Ma kallama Allahu ahadan qattu illa min wara'i hijab. وما كان لرسول أن يكلمه الله إلا وحيا أو من وراء حجاب أو يرسل رسولا فيوحي بإذنه ما يشاء إنه علي حكيم." Allah has not spoken to anyone but behind a veil. وإنه كلم أباك كفاحا. But the honor of your father is so amazing, the veil was removed and the Almighty spoke to your father without a veil. Jabir was elated, overwhelmed, ecstatic. وسر سرورا بالغا للذي جرى لوالده من الكرامة. Overwhelmed, what an honor my father got in the court of Allah. But the challenge of Jabir is far from over. بقي هم كبير وهو الديون. The father leaves behind liabilities, and the young man Jabir is under enormous pressure to clear the debts of his late father. فالغرماء جعلوا يطلبون منه وفاء دين والده. He has absolutely nothing. He comes back to the door of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are there such doors today in the ummah that if a young boy feels suicidal at 12 o'clock, he can turn direction? Are there doors in this ummah if a young girl is going through stress or depression or anxiety or anything else? Do we have the necessary mechanisms to embrace them, empower them, and give them the correct direction? Jabir comes back to the door of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna abi taraka daynan wa lam yatruk malan lam yatruk illa nakhil fihi lam yatruk illa bustan fihi nakhil. O Prophet of Allah, as much as I take solace from the comforting words you said about my late father, but here comes another twist in my life. There's liabilities, there are young sisters, I have siblings, and my father hasn't left behind any assets and wealth, nothing more than one simple basic tree, and I'm owing a lot of debts to the different people whom my father had borrowed from. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna sana'tika fi nisfi an-nahar." Tomorrow at midday I will be at your place. Just separate your dates and be sure to receive me. The Prophet of Allah spot on comes on his time. Tafa hawla at-tamr. He then goes around the dates, circumambulation around the dates. Wada'a bil barakah. And then he invokes the blessings of Allah upon the dates. He said, "Ud'uhum wa killahum." Now call them and start settling the debts. They come one by one. I'm only sharing with you one example. The Prophet of Allah touched the life of every person. We're talking of how we can save. I told you what we need to do objectively. And these are some perfect examples. Ud'uhum wa killahum. Call them and start dishing out. So he calls them one after the other and he starts giving them their dates. Until the debts have been settled. He's all happy and all excited. He comes home. لَقَدْ قَضَى اللَّهُ دَيْنَ أَبِي. His wife asked him, "What's the good news?" "Allah has settled the debts of my late father." جَاءَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَطَافَ حَوْلَ التَّمَرْ وَدَعَى بِالْبَرَكَةِ. He invoked the mercy of Allah. The debts have been settled. وَبَقِيَ التَّمَرْ عَلَى حَالِهِ. And the dates remain as they are. So I have an asset. Liabilities have been removed. I'm happy to know my father is in the bliss, in the gardens of bliss. Day after time moves on, comes the campaign of Ghazwatu Dhat al-Riqa. Briefly, I will quickly run you through it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alongside with his companions, are returning from this campaign. They are getting close. A'ibuna ta'ibuna abiduna li rabbina hamidun. Praising Allah, invoking gratitude on Allah. And Jabir radiallahu anhu is at the rear of the entire group. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't ignore him. What did we say in the write-up here? The arrogance of full speed ahead. The arrogance of full speed ahead. Whatever happens to others, let it be. No. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody is moving. At the distance, he noticed Jabir is in the rear. So he comes to Jabir. He said, "What's the problem here, Jabir?" He said, "Abta'a bi jamali." O Prophet of Allah, my camel is very, very sluggish. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Nawilni hadhihi al-asa." Give me your staff. Istamsik ala jamalika ya Jabir. You sit on your camel and then give me the staff. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes the staff and then gently strikes the camel of Jabir. Fakannama nushita min iqal. It was the mere strike of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coupled by the divine strength of Allah. فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Allah told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when you took a handful of dust and you scattered the dust, it was your hand, but it was aided by Allah. Apparently your hand, but the power was coming from Allah. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ. If you look at the eloquence in this word, it's just mind-boggling. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. So a gentle strike from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam onto the camel of Jabir. And yes, مَضَى مُسْرِعًا يُسَابِقُ جَمِيعَ الْإِبِلِ. Suddenly the camel is now moving. بَلْ لَقَدْ سَبَقَهَا كُلَّهَا. Everybody's like, "Jabir, how did you get that right? What gas are you using?" أَصَابَتْهُ بَرَكَةٌ أَصَابَتْهُ بَرَكَةٌ. It's the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nothing more. Anyway, he's happy now, he's swift, he's got his confidence, his car is moving, his camel is swift, all is coming right in the life of Jabir. Look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's an insult for us to look elsewhere to guide or to present when we have the greatest, the paragon of Allah, the noblest of examples. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to him. He says, "Kayfa jamaluka ya Jabir?" "Jabir, how's the camel?" He says, "It's awesome." "Okay, Jabir, I need to ask you a favor, please." "Yes, O Prophet of Allah, please tell me."
أتبيعني جملك هذا يا جابر؟
Jabir, will you be kind enough? Can you sell me your camel, please? I want it. Jabir's like, oh man, when it wasn't working, yeah, that was the time to sell it. Not now, but how dare I say that to the Prophet of Allah? Please, Jabir, will you sell it? So Jabir says, there's like this contradiction of emotions in my heart. I'm saying, بَلْ أَهَبُهُ لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ No, Prophet of Allah, you can have it, you can have it. The Prophet says, no, بِعْنِيهِ, بِعْنِيهِ. What an example. The pinnacle of Allah's creation, the glory. But what was his interaction with fellow humans? What time did he have? What was his character? How did he interact with people? بِعْنِيهِ, sell it to me. He said, okay, O Prophet of Allah, if you're insisting, you make a price. So the Prophet ﷺ said, بِدِرْهَمٍ, I'll buy it for one dirham. He said, no, O Prophet of Allah, إِذَنْ تَغْبِنَنِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ In Bidayah, the whole narration is written. One dirham, that's like kind of cheating, man. I'm sorry, O Prophet of Allah, that sounds harsh, but one dirham. So, okay, sorry, Jabir, for بِدِرْهَمَيْن, then two dirhams. Oh, no, man, O Prophet of Allah, let's be real. حَتَّى بَلَغَ أُوْقِيَّةً مِّن ذَهَبٍ Until he elevates the price to 1 ounce of gold. وَتَذَكَّرَ جَابِرْ أَنَّ عَلَيْهِ أُوْقِيَّةً مِّن ذَهَبٍ لِأَحَدٍ Jabir has a flash and says, hey, yes, I'm owing somebody 1 ounce of gold. I'll offset that ounce with this camel. Oh, Prophet of Allah, that's perfect. Sort it out. I will sell you the camel for 1 ounce of gold. All measures in place. وَلَكِنْ أَشْتَرِيتُ أَنْ أَرْكَبَهُ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ But one condition, can I enjoy the ride till Medina? I'm enjoying it. It's such a beautiful ride. Till Medina, can I enjoy it? لَكَ ظَهْرُهُ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ It's yours, Jabir. Till Medina, I won't take it. We get to Medina, we will exchange money, take my camel from you, and the deal is done. Anyway, as we're getting closer, as his Jabir starts intensifying his speed, and he's moving even faster and even faster. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا يُعَجِّلُكَ يَا جَابِرْ Jabir, what's all the excitement? Why so quick? He said, حَدِيثُ عَهْدٍ بِعُرْسٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ O Prophet of Allah, I'm just newly wed. Now you know, I often say, you get two types of couples. You get the newly wed or the nearly dead. You get two types of couples, the newly wed or the nearly dead. So one brother said, Sheikh, how do you define the newly wed from the nearly dead? I said, if you go in the bedroom, and there's the most exclusive of clothing, there's this most beautiful of fragrance, deodorant, then you must know it's a newly wed. And if you walk in there, and there's a cough mixture, and there's false teeth, and there's a staff, and there's a magnifying glass, and there's some bandage, then it's a nearly dead. Be it as it may. So he said, oh Prophet of Allah, I'm newly wed. The Prophet of Allah said, okay, go. Who did you get married to, Jabir? Oh, look at the youth of this ummah. I cried when I read this. What was the maturity of those youth? Bikran and Sayyiban. Was it a young girl or was it a woman that was previously married? They said, Sayyiban, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet of Allah, I got married to a woman slightly elder than me in age. Jabir, هَلَّا بِكْرًا تُلَاعِبُهَا وَتُلَاعِبُكَ Jabir, why not a young girl? You could have enjoyed the initial moments of your life. He said, O Prophet of Allah, my dad passed away. وَلِي أَخَوَاتٌ صِغَارٌ He left behind young sisters. I didn't want to bring a young girl in the house who will become a friend to my sisters. I needed to have the maturity of a spouse who will be a mother to my sisters and a partner to myself. I had to forfeit my own interests. I had to overlook my own desire. I had to think long term for my sisters as well as myself. I ignored the aspiration and the fantasy of a young man. And I honored the vision of my late father's soul. I brought an elderly woman who will mother my sisters and be a spouse to me. The Prophet of Allah teared and he said, Asabta khairan, Jabir, you have your compass in order. Jabir, you have your compass in order. What a vision! What maturity! What was the rationale? What was the thinking behind Jabir? Was he not a young man like any other young man? Did he not have the fantasy and the aspiration that any young man and woman would have to commence, gradually evolve and move on and enjoy? But the vision was long term. If only the youth, not of the ummah, but the thousands that have converged here, can embrace that mentality and that approach, things will be different. Anyway, Jabir said, I'm excited because I'm newly wed. The Prophet of Allah tagging behind me, and then he's making dua for me, and I started counting. 25 times he made dua for me. Allahumma ghfir li Jabir. Allahumma ghfir li Jabir. Allahumma ghfir li Jabir. Imagine the dua from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I'm ecstatic. I get home, I'm all excited. I meet with my spouse and my partner. I share my experiences and my emotions. I said, you know, I'm a bit sad. Our camel is moving well. I wanted to take you for a ride. But yeah, you know what? It's no longer ours. Why? Well, it's a long story. Brief, the Prophet of Allah has bought it from me and I couldn't decline. And I'm finding it so difficult to part with it. My emotions are so contradicting. So my wife comforted me. She consoled me. She said, no, don't get so personal. Go in the morning and there will be khair in it. Go to the Prophet of Allah and say, Al-Jamalu Jamaluka Ya Rasulullah. O Prophet of Allah, here's your camel and that's it. And do the right thing and Allah will bless her. He says, I get up in the morning, I take my camel, I come there. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells Bilal, give him his money, وَزِدْهُ قِرَاتًا, and give him extra also. Give him the 1 ounce of gold and give him extra. So I go, I collect my 1 ounce. I said, that's enough. He says, and the Prophet of Allah has told me I must give you extra. I said, Subhanallah, what is this additional money for? I don't know, it's just in compliance to the sentiment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'm more excited. I've got my 1 ounce to offset my liability. And I also have some additional money. I can do something good. As I walk out of there, somebody says, Ya Jabir, Ajib Rasulullah, Ajib Rasulullah. Jabir, the Prophet of Allah is calling. I said, now what? Now what? I just hope we're not dropping that 1 ounce to half an ounce. That's the fear if you're dealing with me or you, but not when you're dealing with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Istawfayta thamani ya Jabir. Jabir, have you taken the money? Naam ya Rasulullah, wa jazakallahu ala ziyada. And I am so humbled by the additional money. I feel so great, so awesome, so kind of you, that additional money that you've given to me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiles. There's a moment of silence. He said, Jabir, where's the camel? He said, here's it, O Prophet of Allah, here's it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam embraces Jabir. He said, Al jamalu wassamanu laka ya Jabir. Al jamalu wassamanu laka ya Jabir. Open bidayah and read the narration. Jabir, I was just having some time with you. I was just enjoying my moments with you. I was keeping you in company. I was keeping you in some lightheartedness. We live in a world of depression. Muhammad ibn Sirin said, لَوْلَا الْمِزَاحْ لَمُتْنَا مِنَ الْغَمْ لَوْلَا الْمِزَاحْ لَمُتْنَا مِنَ الْغَمْ. If there isn't meaningful lightheartedness, the human race will die with depression. If there isn't meaningful, I stress the word meaningful, because Islam wants objective, not something that is meaningless. Jabir, I was just engaging with you. Did you think I would have ever taken this from you? So Jabir tears and he says, how can I take it? وَقَدْ قَبَلْتُ الثَّمَنْ. O Prophet of Allah, I have taken the money. He said, Jabir, this is the character with which my Lord has sent me. The camel remains yours, the money remains yours, the additional remains yours. As Jabir walks out of there, he's screaming, he's yelling. He meets a non-Muslim. The non-Muslim says, what is the matter, brother? He said, come and meet my Prophet. He's the greatest human the earth has ever seen. I leave you with these comments. I ask you, as I said in one of my talks once, this is the time that Allah has given us. The ground is fertile. The opportunity is perfect. And these are my last thoughts that I would leave with you. Aspire to inspire before you expire. Aspire to inspire before you expire. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.